This is Useless Conversations with Kimmy
and Jess. Hey.
Hey.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
I'm sitting next to you.
I know. It's so weird, right?
It's bananas.
Surprise!
We are finally podcasting from the same room.
It's so weird.
It's better, though, because I can see your face, and so I know not to interrupt.
Is it better?
Probably not. I'm still going to interrupt a lot. That's the thing that's probably going to happen. So how was the drive over here, though?
Oh, it was a beautiful day.
Okay. I told you. Can we all silence our cell phones?
Sorry.
Okay. All right.
No, it was a beautiful day. It was a perfect day for a drive.
Was it?
Yes.
Okay.
Now, we've already talked music.
Yeah.
And we already went over how I dance in the car.
Yes.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So I was listening to music for the, 4 hours it took me to get here.
Was it the equivalent of a Zumba class or like what?
That's what I was hoping. I was burning calories along the way.
Okay.
No, it started out with some rock to get me going.
Yeah.
Then it got a little poppy.
Okay.
Then I started going into the R&B.
Okay.
And then I hit the rap.
That last leg to keep you awake.
Yes.
You got to start flowing.
Right? And so I was rapping. I was moving.
Uh-huh.
Maybe some twerking. I don't know. I don't know if we have enough time.
There's a lot to dig into here. I mean, you're throwing a lot of information at me.
No. So I, every time I come over here, it seems like I hit a convoy.
Oh, yeah. You were saying something about that. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's either on the way here or on the way home, I run into hitting a convoy.
Okay.
Now, this was a smaller one than I've normally hit. And it was maybe, I don't know, I'll say like 20 or 25 vehicles in the convoy. And they all seem to be pretty similar. And they all had the... guy's standing in the back.
Oh, okay.
So they can see me.
Right. Where were... They're seeing you car dance.
Yes.
While they're in a convoy. Where was the convoy?
It was in the pass.
Those dudes just have to stand out there?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So it's like I'm at the summit, right?
Uh-huh.
And that's where I run into the convoy. And they start to notice me because clearly I'm moving and rapping and having a good old time with myself.
What
you know?
Were you, can I just ask, maybe throw one or two songs out that you were...
I listened to so much music
you
on
were
the
just,
way.
Okay.
I,
know, all right,
I couldn't
cool.
even... I mean, there was Ludacris, there was 50, there was Eminem, there was Tupac. I don't know what I was... I didn't pay attention. I should have.
But you were busting a move.
I was busting a
as
move
a driver.
While I was singing, rapping, dancing. It was a whole thing.
They're probably looking at you and they're like, if there's one single national threat, it's this woman.
Right.
The twerk of her twerk is insane. The twerk of her twerk. The twerk of her twerk. That's an alliteration I can get behind. Get it? Behind. Okay, so anyway, they're all noticing you. They're seeing that you're that.
So
you're...
yeah, so the first two on the so there's two to every vehicle on the back. And they're I don't know how they stand. And while they're riding backwards, you know, that would make me sick. But anyway, there's two of them on each vehicle. And I think the first two caught me.
Okay.
I was caught. I was busted.
Okay.
But I didn't care. They don't know me.
Oh, dang.
I'm having a good time. So I keep going.
You're about it. Okay.
So I start noticing that as I look forward to each vehicle, the two on the back start looking up. Now...
Oh,
they're riding. They have helmets.
Yes.
But the helmets also have
mics.
Yeah.
It's radio.
Like they're radioing to each other. They're like, check this girl out in this black car. Like she's totally
Mazda
killing it.
Mazda 2 o'clock.
Yeah.
Are you guys seeing this? Is anyone else seeing this?
So wait, you're not going to believe this. I can't make this up.
Okay.
I cannot make this up. So as I start noticing heads popping up, I'm realizing I've been caught, but I'm still doing it. I don't care. If I make one of them smile or laugh.
Yeah.
Like that's made my day.
God bless America.
A military convoy having a good day watching me dance, right?
Yeah. Thank you for your service.
I get about, you know, I'm to the front, like six vehicles, right?
Right. Okay.
I see one of them. They're like two vehicles ahead of me, but they're six from the front, let's say.
Right.
Ish. This guy starts dancing. So I know I've been busted.
Right.
They've told him
that he's ready.
Cat's out of the bag.
Right.
So I pull up next to him and I start dancing with him. No joke. I can't make this up.
You're busting a move.
I bust a move with him. And then I point at him like, you got it, guy. Right.
Take it away.
Now, this is where it gets crazy. I've never seen anything like this before in my life.
Okay.
Dude pulls out cardboard sign. It has a giant heart on it.
Oh, stop!
They're all laughing.
That's the best.
So then as I pass the rest of the six, they're all laughing and I'm laughing and, you know, like waving at them. Like, yeah, that was me.
I love that. You just made that whole convoy's day.
I hope so, because I better make somebody's day.
That is so funny. Oh, my gosh.
It was fun. I had a good time coming over. I got to entertain myself somehow.
Yeah, it's a long drive.
It is a long drive.
For them, too. So they were like, they had the heart ready for the person that was going to make them smile.
Yes.
But they were waiting to see if that would happen, and you made it happen.
Oh, he was prepared.
That's like the secret. I think they made the sign and then put it out into the universe. Please let there be like a beautiful fat booty girl who comes through here with her twerk. It's the secret. They spoke it into the universe and then you were hand delivered on a platter.
Right?
An ass platter.
You're welcome.
You're welcome.
So that's how my day went.
That's great.
It was a pretty good day.
That's great. Yeah, we just put my kid to bed, so we're awake. But we're not alone.
We aren't alone.
So. And that's not to say anything. I mean, we understand that you, the listener, are always with us. No, we carry you in our hearts, but we're not the only people in this room.
Right. So not only are we together for the first time, but we do have another guest.
Our guest is our, she's our, what? Our best friend. One of our best friends. She is our podcast fact checker.
She is a fact checker.
And she is also a cousin. Now, she's not my sister. And she's not Jessica's sister.
No.
Because, again, we have a bazillion cousins. This is our big cousin, Kitty.
Hello.
Welcome.
Kitty's here. She's throwing up a West Side for anyone.
All those people out there.
Right. Right.
She's dancing. She's trying to mimic
Jessica.
What I did in my car.
Yeah, there you go. Couple dance moves. Throw it out for the troops. So,
hello guys.
So, how's your day going? You brought my son birthday present. You want to talk a little bit about that?
I made him something special.
He loves it. He's
that was so cute.
Yeah, it was the cutest thing ever when he opened it. He's so excited.
So cute.
I was like, are you going to say thank you? Because like I was stopping him to make sure he like respected manners. But he was
totally did.
Actively running toward you to hug you. And I was like, stop, you need to say thank you. And then I was like, wait, no, he's running to her to hug her.
It was pretty cute watching him play with them. Like,
yeah,
like he was talking.
Oh, he's literally going to get so much use out of it. So Kitty is a master with yarn. Or as I like to say, she's a professional hooker. Again, professional hooker. She's a crochet master.
Amateur, dude.
She crocheted
a year, guys. Calm down.
A Mario and a Luigi for my son. Well, if it's only been a year and you're already this good at it is the thing. I've been doing it my whole life. I make blankets and scarves because they're rectangular in nature. Like
those are just they get boring after a while. Like I need a little more intricate.
But when it gets boring though, I just abandon yarn. I'm like, oh yeah, I'm done making that for a while.
I have to say, I have quite a few stuffed animals that are like in pieces.
Yeah.
Like I'll sew all the pieces or I'll
crochet all the pieces
and then
do you stuff them too and then just like leave them in.
I dread sewing them together.
Yeah.
That's the worst part.
Yeah, you gotta get the limbs on there.
I could have made that all in one day if I really got motivated. But
I like how she says it like it's a secret. Like,
I don't sew them together.
Yeah.
I have lots of grocery bags with like, what's in this bag?
Is this
like a tail and like a head, maybe some ears?
If anyone just jumped onto this podcast, they'd be like, "Is their cousin a cannibal? Why does she got body parts in a grocery bag?"
That would sound pretty bad.
Huh? Yeah, I mean, hopefully they've been listening from jump, but yeah, it hopefully.
If they have, I just want to say facts are important. Okay, do your due diligence. I don't need people thinking they can't have a Baja Blast any time of year, okay? And that they don't come different flavors.
Just, I can't.
Okay? I just want to I've been caught.
Okay, I've been caught. I get it.
People fighting with each other.
A Baja, Baja Freeze, to be fair, just so we're clear, just it's like blue.
Taking it back, old school, like first episode, maybe?
Pretty sure. Okay. Yeah, that was first episode.
Just like, throwing that out.
Also, it was really funny because as soon as, so this is the thing, first of all, the second episode, Jessica brings it up and she's acting like she's dropping this bombshell on me. And I was like, no, I know that I can get it any time of year. What I was saying was like, sometimes like they'll have it and I will want it. Like it's a thing. And then I went back and listened to it. And I'm like, that is not at all what you said. You made it seem like you did not understand how the Baja Blast Freeze works.
Yeah.
We don't need people thinking they can only get it in summertime.
Yeah,
we
you're right.
Shit all year round. Right.
We got to be able to tell the people what they need to know.
Unless you're in Seattle and it snows and then everything's shut down. So don't even try.
Yeah. It's so funny because it's really funny because I grew up on this side of the mountain, especially during like the winter months. So you guys really do know, like professionally speaking, because of where you were located for most of your lives in Eastern Washington, how to drive in the snow.
Yes.
I do not. And my Canadian family laughs at me too, because they get way more snow than even you guys do.
Right.
And so we went in March to visit my family in Canada, and it was the first time I brought Zeb to Flin Flon. That's right, people. Flin Flon, Manitoba. It's a real town. You can Google it. So anyway, I take him home to Flin Flon. I always say take him home. Home, we're in my home, but like it feels
the town. How do they greet him when you get there?
How's the drive, eh?
That's it?
Are you hungry? You want a drink?
Hungry?
You want a drink? Yeah. But no, my Canadian family is they're very service oriented. So like right when you get in the door, they greet you. And like in Canada, it's very customary to take your shoes off. It's not like here where like, okay, we generally expect it. In Canada, it's expected because you're covered in snow. So you have to peel off layers at the door. So everyone has like an area for removing shoes and coats and stuff like that. So they greet you at that area. It's a tight little space. And they're like, it's been a long drive, eh? Are you hungry? Do you want Auntie to make you something to drink? Do you want something hot to drink, a bev? What do you want? Auntie will make it for you.
Like, I want space. I know.
And I'm literally like peeling off my coat, getting my toque or my beanie, because that's what people call it. I don't want to be misleading. In Canada, we call them toques.
Oh,
a hat is a toque. Did you know that?
Yeah, I think we've talked about
that. Oh, I think we, okay. Yeah. It's called a toque. And I say toque immediately. And then I go, I'm sorry, beanie. Like a winter hat. But it's a toque. So I'm, it doesn't matter. I'm trying to peel off the layers of crocheted right. goods that you've probably made for me or you have made for me or I've made for myself, because I can also do hats a little bit, whatever, I mess around, but and I'm like, yeah, I want a drink,
getting my shoes. Just got to untie. Got it. This one's tight. Got to untie. Because can I just have a Caesar? Can someone make me a Caesar and a sandwich? So a Caesar is like a Bloody Mary, but better. I won't get into it. It's made with Clamato and we put pickle juice in it. And
not Clamato.
Not Clamato. It's Clamato.
I drink Clamato.
Oh, great. Well, see, another way we differ. Just different A's for different areas.
I guess.
I've got A's.
I call it nasty. So I mean,
I mean, I would tell you to leave, but we're trying to, we're just trying to make her feel better. Anyway. Oh, good. I mean, so if the rosé has done anything today, it's
take the edge off.
Take the edge off the knee issue.
Yeah. I mean, I can bend it. Like, I know. I shouldn't, but I can.
I love that her first, this is the sign of a good mom. And I mean this wholeheartedly. Her first comment was, my kids are making their own breakfast tomorrow. Because that tells me two things. It tells me that you regularly make your kids a genuine breakfast.
Yeah. Or I drive to McDonald's. I'll
wake up early and have McDonald's Ubered to your house.
There you go.
With an apology note.
My kids would be like, how do you put the syrup on? I can't
Kitty definitely, so she definitely prioritizes her children's wants over her own, and she will literally wake up, you know, early in the morning and drive over to whatever establishment they've decided they want breakfast from. And then she'll strategically pour like the little packet of syrup over the pancakes or like
butter. Yeah, she doesn't just do that. She butters it. She cuts it up into bite-sized pieces. Right. She puts the syrup on.
Yeah.
Then she even will warm it. For, you know, because like, it might be
you
too
put
cold
syrup on, you gotta like warm it up.
Yeah. Yep. I just I'd like to point out I do those things for Ezra too, but he's 5.
Noah's 11. I know it's bad.
Noah's her youngest.
So
how old's Marky?
I mean he's
you don't
be driving soon.
Yeah, so. I
tried telling him like if you can drive a car, you can put some freaking butter on your toast. But you know,
he's like, but you do it better.
He might burn himself.
Can you imagine? Our parents,
we were on our fucking own. Like
no, 10. Like, they're like, you can walk and talk.
Out of town for a few days. Oh, okay.
All right, cool. And like
my sister's watching us.
Yeah. Oh.
Well, she's only like 13.
But, right. Okay. 13-year-old.
Good. We have a dog.
Right. Roxy. Roxy.
I love
you. Roxy.
I mean, she wouldn't hurt anybody, but.
But they don't. Her bark was louder than her bite. That's for damn sure. Yeah. Roxy was the best dog ever. Was she a Rottweiler?
She was a Rottweiler Timberwolf.
Oh, she was the best dog ever. Yes. I miss that dog, so I love that dog very much.
Dude, she would like follow us to the gas station and like wait outside. Like,
yes.
She didn't have to be tied up.
Nothing.
She didn't try to come in.
Best dog.
My cat did too. She kind of followed. They were weird. They were like Milo and Otis.
I was gonna say.
And they like sit outside my friend's house and I'd walk over to my friend's house. So.
And they'd like wait for you.
Yeah.
Just really
sit
loyal.
On the front porch. Like as soon as my person leaves, I'll leave, dude. Like
yeah.
I mean, I don't know.
You have my human. This is like you're holding them for ransom and my time.
I'm watching guard and make sure you don't hurt them.
Yeah, so. I'm just waiting for my human. No, they were very your Roxy
like,
was so loyal.
Now? No. They're just like there to like meow in the middle of the night and wake Mark up and piss him off, and then he's like, where can we drop your cats off so they stop biting?
That's pretty funny. Yeah, because I'm allergic to animals, I had this fear that Ezra would be too. So one time I went over to my sister, she was like, hey, I have this work conference thing. And Hunter's
Hunter will be fine, but Jakers, I need someone to pick up Jakers. So can you just, Renee is going to bring him to you at my house. Can you and Ezra just like hang out with him and kick it until I get home from this conference? Cause I'm not, there's was this window of time
right
that she was not expecting to not have someone there to watch my nephew. And so I was like, yeah, no problem. And they have a long haired cat and now they have a Shih Tzu. His name's Hammy. Well, his name's Hamilton. He's so cute.
He's so cute.
I dog sat him a few weekends ago. And it was the best day for Ezra ever because it was a hypoallergenic dog that he could like play with, you know? My cats, I had two cats when I was pregnant with Ezra. We had Scout. She was like our little mouser. She was a very small, she was fully grown, but very small as a fully grown cat. Mm-hmm. Then we had Hobbs. Do you guys remember him? He was yes. super long and he was just like
orange.
A, yeah, my tabby cat. He was, I always called him Habanero. I was like, Habanero, my spicy little pepper, because he would straight bite us, but like in a playful way, like right. he was playing. He bit Hunter one time and I was like, Jen, like Hunter was poking at him, whatever. And my sister was like, no, he wasn't. That cat just literally turned around and bit my kid. And I'm like, you're exaggerating.
It's 'cause little kids don't know and they go to hug and yeah. touch and well, cats are like, bitch.
No. Yeah, no. Get this is my personal space and right. I already hissed at
you. You should see Noah's like
yeah. Arms. Yeah.
Like, you would think he has like a little
eight but I kitten now. But I was yeah, I literally was
it's our full grown
that's,
cat.
That's it's our full grown cat. I literally was calling bullshit on my sister and come to find out, no, he legit hated kids. And after I had Ezra, my allergies got way worse.
I remember that.
Yeah. And like you had to come over and help me that one day because my throat was literally closing because I was in like I can't remember what it's called. I'm trying to remember. When your throat closes, they call it dysphagia. I had dysphagia, but it was a response to the anaphylaxis from the cat dander. And also my anxiety was like heightened. Mm-hmm. So it was like a plethora of things. But my doctor was like, you know, you're allergic to the cat dander. Cause I had had an allergy test earlier in life at like 17.
Right.
You know, you're slightly allergic to that. After you have a baby, your hormones go crazy and your allergies mm-hmm. can intensify.
Right.
So you need to get rid of the cats. Like, it's clearly causing your throat to close. And at that time, Ezra wasn't like crawling or moving yet. So we rehomed them with a friend. But I said to her, if this ever becomes a situation that you can't handle, don't take them to the pounder. Like, right. the humane, bring them back to me. Like, if it becomes something that you don't want to deal with, bring mm-hmm. them back to me. Well, that's exactly what happened. She brought them back. I was able to rehome Scout immediately with a family that had like, they had like 9 kids and they needed a mouser. And I was like, boy, do I have the cat for you. And she was the type of cat who like, whenever a kid would pick her up, she would just kind of go limp and like, let it happen and like, let it play out. And so when we showed up at this house with all these kids, they were all picking her up.
Just played dead.
And she at first she did. She was like, hello. And she was doing that. But then she started licking their faces.
Aww.
And then she started doing the thing where, you know, they thrust their nose on your nose.
Yeah. My cat has.
It's yes. It's so cute. I miss. That's one thing
it's
I do
cute
miss.
Until you're tired. You don't want to.
Yeah.
Get up.
You're like, get the fuck away from me. Oh my
and
God.
And then they meow and wake up your spouse and then they're pissed off at you.
Zeb loves cats. He would be like, well, that's the nature of the feline. I don't know why. Whenever I talk about Zeb on this podcast, he always sounds like an NPR anchor. And tonight we're going to discuss Biden's first national address. That's not how my husband sounds at all.
No.
You know him. That's not... But so I was happy because she got rehomed. It worked out really well. And it was a girl that Zeb's, not a girl, a woman that Zeb's sisters had gone through high school with. And so they knew her and they knew that she was a cat person. Her husband also cat person. And of course their kids, like they all loved it when I showed up with a cat for them. And I brought all the things. I was like, this is the cat box and here's all the food we have. And I've just, yeah. And I was like, here's her records because she's been inoculated. And if you have any questions, South Hill Vet, that's where she goes. And even she's microchipped. Here's the paperwork for her microchip. Yes, exactly. She likes Family Guy, but when the dog comes on, she leaves the room. So
when she meows like this, it means right. She wants outside.
And so, and I left her there, and I got back in my car, and I kind of started to cry, and I went home, and Zeb was there with Ezra, and I was kind of crying to him, and he was like, "It's okay. Like, maybe now, if it's just Hobbs, your allergies will be better." And it was true. His dander was less aggravating mm-hmm. to my allergies. So it was much better, actually. It got way better. But then Ezra started crawling, and Hobbs was having 0% of the bullshit that my crawling baby was yeah. bringing to the table. And the final straw, he kept hissing at him and like making no- and like and like batting at him, but not with claws out because we didn't declaw our cats.
Right.
And the final straw was he couldn't make it over the baby gate fast enough for how Ezra was approaching him. And he swiped at Ezra and he caught Ezra with his claw.
Yes, I came over to babysit with your sister and you thought yes. he had cat scratch fever or something.
he has a real bad case of cat scratch fever. And I'm really concerned. No, I thought that he had the what is it called? There's some kind of toxicity that they have in their claws. Yeah, yeah. Yeah. And I was like, just keep an eye on it and put some, like, I don't know. You know,
he had a rash or something.
Something, yeah. It was like a rash plus that one. Anyway, so then we had to rehome Hobbs and it broke my heart because when they were together and it was with a friend of mine, I was like, well, then I can still visit them, you know, right. Or at least I can still, or I can see pictures of them on social media and stuff. But rehoming them to someone you don't know is like, I'm never actually going to get to see my cat again. And it sucks.
Mark's hoping our cats will like run away. Like, they won't even let me go to the bathroom without like crying at the door.
Right.
So I highly doubt they're gonna go far. Yeah. But if it happens, you know, I'll just probably have to bring home another one.
I know. That's
like my kids will be devastated.
Yeah. Right?
Well, Marky won't really care because he kind of has allergies. But
yeah, but it's controlled. Like you can take over the counter stuff for it, or you can just avoid.
Well, we lived in that old house though.
Yes.
Like the lady before us had like, it's like the whole upstairs was like the cat condo.
Wow.
So there was like 4 bedrooms
there
for
was,
cats.
Yeah.
Like I'm talking like cat tower. Like she had like 13 cats. So when we moved in, like just changing
oh
the
my
air
God.
Filter on the thermos or the furnace.
Furnace, yeah.
Like 2 inches of cat.
Ugh. Yeah.
Like she had like well, so many cats. Just Marky like would be like, "Mom, I got hives all over my body."
And you're like, "I don't know how." Like,
it's got to be the mold. I mean,
yeah,
can't which it's be. Gotten better since we've moved.
Yeah, that's great.
He shuts his door and keeps the cats out because for some reason they want to be in his room all the time. Like,
why is that? Yeah,
I think it's probably because he kicks his brother out, and his brother's the one that bugs him. That's probably why.
Yeah. Well, I think what's really interesting is that so Jessica and I went to a football game, but we parked at, in front of your house, and you and your husband and your kids weren't even in town. I think you guys were in Hawaii.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
And but your parents
no,
were
you
there.
You guys were in California, I think. It was like Noah's birthday.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh okay.
Noah's birthday.
Well, anyway, so we went to the game, but we parked at your house and Ubered to the stadium. Because it was like the best thing I could think of is like, I'm not trying to park downtown. I'm trying to find an Uber. And the Uber ride there, by the way, was very easy. But the Uber ride back was very difficult because there were 1 million silver Priuses that pulled up. We kept going. Yes. So we kept going silver Prius after silver Prius. We tried 4 or 5 of them.
Yeah, there was like 5.
And then we finally found one. And I was like, this has to be it, right? And I was like, if it's not, this is just, it's borderline.
We're
like,
taking it.
Right. We're just, it's ours now.
I don't know where we're going, but we're taking it.
But he's like, we opened the door and I was like, are you here to pick up Kim? And he was like, yes, West Seattle. And I was like, yes, yes, sir. So finally we found one. But yeah, when we were in that house, I turned to Jessica and I was like, do you smell that? And she was like, no. And I was like, something is really weird. Like, I don't know what's happening. And then the next day, my entire arm was just covered in hives.
Marky used to get like that, yeah, all the time.
And I don't know if I sent a picture to you then or if I sent a picture to you later, but I have this picture of my arm just covered in hives after being in your house. We were there before we left for the stadium for maybe, I don't know, a half hour, 45 minutes.
Yeah.
And then afterwards, we came back. Your mom insisted on making us patty melts.
Yeah,
of course.
And it's April.
Midnight? Oh, you gotta be hungry.
You're starving, right? Right. Hey, Kilty Girls, you want me to make you patty melt? Okay.
You know how we do.
Auntie, make you patty melt. Don't worry about it. And then, of course, your sister's on the phone.
Oh yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah. And so your dad hands the phone to Jessica, and your sister's like, don't you guys let my mom fucking cook you dinner. It's almost midnight. Get in there and help her, and blah, blah, blah. And I was like, you don't understand, you're Mick. Like, what? I'm trying to get in there. She won't let me. Mickey, I'm trying. And April's just like, okay, it's fine. She's going to do it. I know she's going to do it. I guess it is what it is. But yeah, your mom.
She likes doing
it. She does. She does. She loves taking care of people.
It might be odd hours.
I know, but who cares? Hey, if she's got the energy to make me a patty melt at midnight, I'm here and I'm in for it. Like, I'm ready.
We had a few drinks at the game, too. So it was like, welcome.
It was, yeah.
Yes, I do want a patty melt.
Yeah, we Ubered back here, but we still have to drive back to Spanaway. Yeah.
Like, we need that.
We're gonna stay
a
couple hours.
Put a
little protein
milk.
Powder in there.
Yeah, exactly. And then your dad is always like the most profound talker wherever he is. And so I got into a really great conversation with him. And then I look out in the living room and your mom's like asleep in the corner of the couch and Jessica's on the other corner playing on her phone and she just looks at me and I'm like, I'm talking to him. This is interesting. I don't know what you're doing. Right? She's just there playing a game on her phone.
10:30.
We got to drive back to Graham.
I totally fell asleep on your couch.
Yeah. Yeah. And your mom eventually went to bed and I was like, I better get her home. But I'm really glad you guys moved out of that place. Cause yeah, I think it was all that cat hair. Cause I said to her, did they have a cat?
That house was haunted.
Totally.
Like, yeah.
There's no question in my mind. If you look up the address, it comes up an old bakery.
Oh, it does?
Like a bakery.
Oh, wow.
Cooked stuff in the basement. I don't know. But I would have these nightmares like several times a week. It was literally disturbing.
Yeah.
That I fell down the stairs and like laid there and died because
no one found you.
My hip or something.
Right.
No one really knew I was down there. I don't know.
That's fucking terrifying.
In the middle of the night, you would literally hear like banging. It sounded like pots and pans banging around. And Mark would be like, go tell your parents to shut up. And I'd go down there and they'd be dead asleep. And I'm like, I don't know what you're talking about. Like,
yeah.
They're not even awake.
Yeah.
Kitty would leave me on a separate floor and be like, good night, and take off.
Yeah, no.
No, there was one night me and Noah were watching like Ghost Adventures because we love that show.
Yeah.
And the light turned on. Like, so our spare bedroom, like, we thought the light bulb was out, like, for like a week until you're watching Ghost Adventures at nighttime and the light turns on.
Huh. Yeah, that's not terrifying at all.
So then Noah's like, Mom, you should probably pause it. I need to go talk to Dad. But. It scared him.
Like, I like how that's okay, how he tries to cover for his terror. Yeah.
I'm like, okay, this is kind of creepy. Like, yeah, let's pause it. So then I'm like, I should go change the laundry down in the basement in the fucking creepiest part of the
house.
And
then she fell down all the stairs and died at the bottom.
So as soon as I opened the door and turned the light on, the light bulb, loud as could be, like popped and like burnt out.
Oh my god.
As I'm walking down and talking like
you don't have to
stairs that are like
straight
up and down.
Can I be
old time
you're
wood,
gonna die
creepy stairs.
With
like
concrete
could
at
grab
the bottom
you from behind.
Yeah.
Or underneath.
Like those the ones at Grandma and Grandpa's on 19th.
Yeah.
Those basement stairs. Oh,
they were worse.
Oh.
And the light bulb blew out as I'm going down the stairs.
No. Mm-mm. that's some supernatural shit I don't need to get involved in.
Yeah. There were so many times where I'd hear or my mom would call me and be like, are you home? Are you upstairs? And I'm like, no, no one's home. Just you guys. She's like, well, Dad went to the store and there's banging, really loud banging. And I'm like, well, I don't know. Go turn your TV up and hide under the blankets.
Yeah. It's the ghost.
Obviously, it's the ghost in
that house. That's not the first experience that your parents have had, though, with ghosts. Because April had a friend their first, when they first brought
my mom or dad.
Maybe your parents have a poltergeist situation happening. But yeah, April would talk to her friend who was the ghost that lived in their first house.
Yeah.
And I tell people that story.
She even yelled at it one time when it pushed my dad down the stairs.
That's so scary.
Push my daddy. And my dad literally fell down the stairs.
Wow. So
he felt like something pushed him. And my sister's screaming at nothing.
That's creepy.
Don't push my daddy.
After Ezra was born, he would zone out. And they say that, babies often look off into nothingness because they can't really see anything. Because all they can see is shadows and shapes. But then he'd just be looking over my shoulder and he'd go, and he'd smile and laugh. And I'm like, okay, so it's my mom or it's my dad mm-hmm. or it's grandpa or grandma yeah. or it's Zeb's dad. Somebody's here for a visit.
Yeah.
But he never says anything anymore. But when he was a baby, you could tell he was like looking at something and smiling.
Two rolls of film that I took when Marky was a baby and I brought him over here from Spokane uh-huh. to visit Mark's family. And we stayed at grandma's house.
Yeah.
And she was totally haunted. But your mom was there.
It was a haunted house.
It
I know.
Was totally haunted.
Grandma came to me in my dreams three times.
In the house, there is a orb around uh-huh. Marky. Whether your mom's holding him or my mom's yeah. holding him or grandpa's holding him. And I'm like, why is the same roll of film that I went to Mark's mom's house the same day, same roll of film.
There's no orb.
Nothing. Mm-mm. But every picture at grandma's house yeah. had this white orb.
Yeah.
Marky's blurry with a white orb. And I'm like, it's grandma. Have to think that way so yes. that you don't freak yourself out. Plus you want to think it's them. They're
agreed.
It's so crazy if you look at all the pictures.
So the date of grandma's passing, October
26th.
So
2004.
Right. So it was
I was pregnant, didn't even know.
Yeah, we just graduated high school. It was the fall after we graduated. Mm-hmm. I was living with grandpa because I was trying to help him take care of her the best I could. I was also working two other jobs at the same time. And I was trying to help him with that and other things that were going on. Anyway, the day grandma passed away, I was there with them. I was there with everybody. But all the adults had to make decisions. And they were like, Kimmy, we need to ask you to go home now. So I drove home. Because they had to make decisions. And it wasn't my business to be there for that. I wouldn't leave her side. And then they were like, okay, she's passed. You need to go home. You need to get a shower. You need to go to sleep. You need to rest. I get home. And right before we took grandma to the hospital, the day that we took grandma to the hospital, I wound her grandfather clock. Okay. And there's a two key system to do this. You have to use the key that unlocks the body
to get to it.
Yeah. And then you have to use the crank arm key to wind it up. Mm-hmm. So I wind it, I set it, perfect timing, and I toss the pendulum, right? And it was fine. Everything was good. We take grandma to the hospital. And after you wind it, it's a week or two before you have to go in there and wind it again. And it was one of my favorite things to do. Grandpa always let me do it. Mm-hmm. I get home. And the pendulum is straight down the middle, stopped at 10:26.
And you're home alone?
And I'm home by myself.
Okay.
And I was like, so I unlocked the body and I reached in and swung the pendulum and it started ticking again. And the chimes are literally down. I mean, 2 days, 3 days worth. Mm-hmm. It hasn't even been a whole week. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Grandma, don't fuck with me yet. You just died.
Really?
Already?
stuck somewhere between. Like,
yeah. What? I know you believed in limbo, but this is some shit, Nana. So then,
but you're still having the talk with God right now?
Like, what? Jesus. I don't know what happens at the pearly gates, but I thought the situation was going to be a little bit like customs. I didn't know it was this quick. I mean, she was a good woman, so maybe they put her in the express lane. I don't know. That was it. But then another thing that happened. Excuse me, Lord. I'd like to come back to this, but I need to take a brief pause to go haunt some people. So, but the other thing that happened was you know, that back bedroom.
Yes. Where everyone knows that.
Everyone knows that back bedroom was super haunted.
I hated that bedroom
so much.
I hated going to that half of the house.
I know. Like, even when you had to go potty, I would say things to Grandpa, like, can I just use your potty?
Yeah, forget that half of the house. I don't even want to walk in the entryway door because it's too close to that part of the house. I know.
Well, it was terrible. I lived there with Grandpa. Whatever was there when I was living there with Grandpa, I was like, look, I know you're here. I'm not going to fuck with you. I need you to not fuck with me. Let's just agree that you're dead and I'm alive and no one's going to fuck with anybody. Yes. And it was cool. We were cool. But after Grandma passed away, I had like a little tiny TV. Remember how they would have a VCR built into the bottom?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay.
I would sleep in that back room on a little like cot thing.
Yeah.
With Marky when he was like 2 weeks old.
Yeah.
And my parents were in that room.
Yeah. Because they'd be in the bed and you guys would be on the cot. So here's the deal. We've got this little tiny TV with the VCR in it. Now, after the tape stops playing, it stops, the screen turns blue, it rewinds automatically, and then it replays, right?
Yep.
So I'm laying in the bed and something wakes me up and I'm brought to attention and Grandma's standing at the end of the bed. And I'm like, Grandma, you're dead. And she's just looking at me and she's smiling. And it was the scariest thing. Like, it wasn't, there was like a peace at the time, that like kind of washed over me a little bit. But I was like, Grandma, how are you here? You're gone. Like, you're gone. And she was just smiling at me. And she was like, everything's going to be okay. It's going to be okay. But she said it to me without like moving her mouth. Like, she was just smiling at me. It was really creepy. Honestly, like, thanks, Grandma, but like, no, thank you. In hindsight, I should have been more scared than I was. And then, like, all of a sudden, my movie shut off in the background. And then I woke up. But I could have sworn that I was already awake and I was looking at Grandma. It was very vivid and it was very, very real. Mm-hmm. And the screen went blue. And it started rewinding my tape. And instead of starting over, it shut off. Hmm. And the room got dark. Ugh. And I was like, no, 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 no.
like the TikTok. Oh, no, 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 no.
Yes. It was terrible. It was really bad. But yeah. Obviously, I turn the light on. I get over it, whatever. But then the whole day, and even to this day, I constantly am thinking, like, why would Grandma bother to haunt me? Like, I wasn't even close to her favorite, first of all.
It was me. I'm her favorite. Mm-hmm. Jessica.
The two pennies. The two pennies were. Yeah, you haven't talked this whole time. But the two pennies from that episode with Aspen were the indicator that you were clear. She financially favored you for sure.
You know, you said that story, and I hate to say this, but I don't recall any of that.
It makes me so mad that you don't, because for so long. Okay, Grant, I'm going to tell you. We went to the Oregon coast. We used to stay in Florence the week between when I would get back from Canada and before school would start. We'd go to like some campground, because remember, Grandpa was a member of Thousand Trails. So we'd go to this campground in Florence, Oregon, which is right above California. And we would camp there for a week, and then we'd all go, they would take us back to Tacoma, and everyone else would go off to Spokane. Okay. And it was usually Missy and Brian and the girls, then eventually just Missy and the girls. And it was Kim and Eric and Jessica and Corey. We'd all stay at this Thousand Trails, whatever. Grandma was like, if you collect all the cans, like the aluminum cans, while we're camping, and you guys keep them separate to me, Jenny, and Jessica, then when we get to town, you guys can keep whatever, because in Oregon, you can recycle them and get money.
You do it.
I know you can't. You told me that. Yeah, yeah. But in Oregon, it's everywhere. Like, it's right. Even at the Fred Meyer, they have a can counter.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So you just, that's what we did, is we went in with our cans, and as we're putting them in, it's like racking up the pennies or whatever. And it split three ways down to the nickel, right? And there were two pennies left over. Now, first of all, my first thought was, okay, give me one of the two pennies that's left over. No, no. What grandma does is she takes the two extra pennies and just automatically hands them to Jessica. So Jenny and I are both kind of like, what the fuck? Like, first of all, there's two pennies. So how is she getting? Yeah, I don't understand. I don't understand. Why does she automatically obviously get the two penny advantage? So it split down to the nickel. And then there was these extra two pennies. She gave them to Jessica. And we were 12 or 13 at this point. I shouldn't have been angry about two pennies, but I literally thought about it for like 2 weeks after that. And clearly the last 22 years. And then Aspen was like, we need to figure out like the inflation rate, and we need to go back. Like,
what's the interest rate?
I don't know. But yeah, she clearly favored Jessica, at least in that scenario she did. I don't know.
You know, speaking of favorites, do you have a favorite cousin?
Ask me that. You, that's like asking me if I have a favorite kid. I
mean, do you have a favorite?
I'm never gonna tell.
That's gonna be my next question.
Just joking.
Okay, so we know it's me, right?
Yeah.
I'm everyone's favorite, or so I tell everyone. No, I won't make you pick a favorite, but when we go to family get-togethers, it ends up that you and I are the two that get in trouble, and we're always the ones that like run out. We go for the ice run or for the ice cream that was forgotten or whatever. And everyone always accuses us of different things because it takes us so long to do these simple tasks, right?
Okay.
But I don't think that people understand that when we're together, things happen. We cannot make it up. Yeah. It just happens, okay. Right?
Yeah.
Okay. So I wanted to see if you would be willing to tell our Seattle story.
Oh, God. Which one? Are we talking like blind guy hits my car?
Yes, exactly.
No.
I wanted to see if you would be willing to tell that story because you tell it way better than I do.
Oh, God.
And I think it's something that would make everyone laugh. But also, it's something I think about often for...
You have to be there, though. Like, when you're halfway pulled... When you're halfway pulled into...
Wait, crosswalk. Here. Let me set the stage. I'll set the scenery, and then you tell the story, because you tell it so much better than I do. You're a better storyteller than I am.
Oh, I wish everyone could have been with us.
You know, this is something I think about often. I feel like, generally speaking, I'm a pretty good person, but then I think about this specific situation, and I wonder if I really am a good person or not. So
integrity is doing the right thing when no one's watching.
That's right. And you know, everyone was watching, unfortunately. Okay, so we're in downtown Seattle.
traffic it's, like a mofo.
Yeah, it's rush hour traffic. It was a weekday, right? It was.
Yeah, it was like a Thursday or a Friday or something.
Yeah, it was definitely a weekday. And it was probably 5 or 6 o'clock at night.
Yeah, it was like rush hour.
It was definitely rush hour. People are trying to get home. And we pull out of a parkade, a parking garage, yeah, if you will. And we're going down towards the water.
West.
We're definitely going west, down towards the water. And there is traffic everywhere. Like, you can't, like, inches are as far as you move at a time. The light turns green and we start moving.
Yes.
We make it to the second light.
Yes.
The light is still green, but we get stopped. Yeah, traffic's backed up. So we get stopped. And your large SUV is stuck mostly in the crosswalk. Definitely over halfway of the crosswalk.
I haven't crossed the outer line of the crosswalk to the intersection, but I'm definitely in the crosswalk. Yes.
But again, the light's still green. We haven't done anything wrong. We're waiting for the car in front of us to move a little bit so we can.
They had to wait for oncoming traffic.
Yes. So we're waiting in this crosswalk to pull through the intersection. And the light turns red. And we are stuck in the middle of the crosswalk. Oh. Now, the walkers who are trying to cross are not happy with Kitty's placement. And they're kind of making it known with the looks that they're giving and how they're walking around the vehicle. However, Kitty, as the driver, looks over to her left. And she sees a man who is very clearly blind.
He's contemplating going.
Yes, he's contemplating going, but he's blind. And he's got sunglasses on and a cane.
And we're watching the clock.
And we're watching the clock down. Tick down. And it's actually, like, we could hear it.
Yeah, it's like, warning, hurry up, get your ass through the crosswalk. And he's still at the curb.
No.
With his stick.
Yeah. And he wasn't going anywhere. I was almost certain he was not crossing because of the
amount of time
the hesitation, right?
Right, yeah.
So I was almost certain he wasn't. And so Kitty's like, oh, Jess, he's gonna cross. And I'm like, kid, he's not. He's staying put. And she's like, Jess, I think he's gonna cross. He's gonna cross. And I'm like, nah. I think we're good.
And then panic set in. And,
this guy decides to take a step right off of that curb into the crosswalk, and sheer panic came over both of us.
I don't know what to do. What do you do when a blind guy's headed for your car and the countdown is at like 9, 8, 7, and he's not even halfway?
Kitty starts to panic and she doesn't know what to do because clearly neither one of us has ever been in this particular situation in life ever.
And I can't back up.
And we can't back up. Somebody's right on the bumper. And we can't go forward because it's a red light and cars are going through the intersection. So we're stuck in this crosswalk.
Yes.
So Kitty starts
panicking, to say the least.
Yeah, she panics.
It's very obvious the guy's headed right for my car.
Yes. She keeps starting to roll the window down and asking me if she should say something. And then she rolls it back up because she's panicking. She doesn't know what to do. Everyone is watching. The whole intersection kind of stopped. Not one of those walkers was like, hey, sir, there's a car.
They went
to the other side and was like, let's watch this. Yeah. Like, get your
there
popcorn.
There's probably someone video. There's probably somewhere on YouTube somewhere. With me yelling with the window cracked, to the left, to the left.
When I get nervous, I, as I deal with most things, get the nervous laughter. So yes. I wasn't any help, but I was also embarrassed that I was laughing because it wasn't a situation that wasn't appropriate to laugh. It wasn't
really appropriate to laugh at him because he can't see. He has no idea what he's in for.
And, you know, being somebody who wants to be a nurse, I feel like I should have jumped out of the car and helped him. But I didn't. I hid
in Seattle downtown.
Yeah, like. I totally hid. I will fess up to this. I'm honest Abe. I totally covered my face and laughed in my shirt while Kitty panicked. And she rolls down her window and says, to the left. And the guy runs into the side of her car.
Like in between my mirror and my door. Like, not just like the side panel, but we're talking like in between my door handle and my mirror. Like, and he says, oh, shit. And then he proceeds to bang my car all the way around with his stick till he gets away from it. To finish the crosswalk. Mind you, his timer was up. So nobody could go. And I think we missed the light again.
Are the cars behind you guys
honking? Yes! No, I think everybody in Seattle was laughing at us. The dude, like, straight ran into my car. Like, if I had my window open, his head would have went through my window. I only cracked it a little bit to say, to the left, to the left, so he would know to, like, take two steps this way. No, he doesn't listen. He smacks right into my freaking window and then screams and bangs my whole car all the way around till he gets around it. And nobody can go. The light's green, but nobody can go because who's going to hit him? Obviously blind guy in the middle of the road. And then we missed another light.
Oh my gosh.
That was terrible.
I'm full on crying right now.
Like, okay. Why did they not help him? There were so many pedestrians that could have been like, dude, you're going to hit a car. Dude.
I mean,
you have 10 seconds.
This is what I think about this entire situation. And I'm putting it out there because I feel like I really need to. Jessica said, you should tell the story because you're a better storyteller. But then Jessica proceeded to tell, I'm going to go 90%
because Kitty kept laughing and I knew she couldn't get it out.
I didn't know what to do. At first I was like, what do I do, Jess? What do I do? I'm like, he's coming, like right at me, like right there. I tried to look away, but it was like, he was coming.
I tried to look away. What does that say about us?
Seconds before the timer like really starts ticking down.
Yeah,
why the fuck did he wait until it said 10 seconds? Until it was like we could hear it in the car. Like,
you guys are right. There should have been like a helpful citizen who was
we're downtown Seattle at rush hour pre-COVID when everyone's out.
Yeah,
like they watched him. There was people standing on the curb. Like,
I'm sure there was.
Oh, I missed this one. I'll wait for the next one. That they could have stopped him.
They should have been like, no, dude, don't do it. Don't do it. But instead, they got out their phones. They pretended to be texting. But
for
they
real.
Video recorded
you. For real. I'm on YouTube somewhere like, to the left, to the left. Out the crack of my window.
Stood on the corner for a good 20 seconds with his stick.
My favorite part about this is that she got up to illustrate.
Yes, please, please.
And there's,
literally taking a
this
stick.
Is a podcast, so this is great. So she's showing. She's standing upright with a She herself has a trick knee.
Where's my crutches?
And she's illustrating the stick.
So funny. And in all fairness, Kitty was on her own. I was like, kid, I can't even.
She couldn't stop laughing to help me.
Well, yeah, I mean, her face is all the way in her shirt at that point.
It was because I knew.
I'm surprised she didn't jump in my back seat where I had tinted windows. Like, she was that, like, I don't know.
I was so mortified. I also knew that we were probably being recorded, so I didn't want my face on the video.
Wash.cam. Have you seen these suspects? They went over a blind guy in the intersection.
Oh my god, I can't.
Right.
Pine or whatever it is.
Oh man, that is mess.
So
that is mess.
I wanted to make sure we got that story in there. You're welcome.
You're welcome.
But, you know, to the next family gathering that we go to where they send Kitty and I off to get whatever condiment that's missing.
Y'all be making field trips though. I mean, I'll be like, where is the goddamn sour cream? Dinner's been ready.
Yeah.
They left a while ago and then you'll come back and there's always
I don't know what happens.
We... It's like we're a magnet for some bullshit.
It's never a dull moment when we're out together.
And then we need a couple minutes to recoup.
Because we're crying.
I'm sorry, almost killing a blind man in a crosswalk was a traumatic experience.
I don't think there was death. Wasn't I mean there?
No, I mean you guys were stopped.
I don't know. There was a point where I was really nervous, and I'm like, do I just go? Like, I don't know. Like, I'm in his way. The light's gonna turn green any second. I know it.
I'm gonna say no. I think you made the right call, Kit. We went to Disneyland. This is the funniest. You know how there's like a situational thing that happens and in the moment it's so funny that even in the retelling of it, it's not good. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, I'm about to do it now, so I guess you will. But Grandpa, historic procrastinator.
Oh, totally.
Right? We all know this.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
110,000%. Yes.
Yeah. Captain Procrastination is what I called him. Mm-hmm. We're in Disneyland. And he turns to Phil and says, tonight, after we leave this amusement park, we need to find the nearest post office because I have to make sure my taxes are postmarked.
Classic.
And my mom and Phil and Grandma all turn to him, and Grandma goes, god damn it, but the classic Nana.
God damn it, insert name. Of
yes.
God damn it.
That's a family thing.
Literally. But so anyway, long story short, the closest post office that Phil can find is the one that's right across from the Hollywood Walk of Fame, right? Oh, God. Which in the
great area.
Great area. And the Chinese Theater. Oh, wonderful.
Yes.
The stars make it look beautiful because during the day, especially when there's an event, they clean it up and it's gorgeous. At nighttime, it's a disgusting hellhole of a place.
And well, work before the sun goes down.
Yeah. Welcome to Hollywood. What's your dream?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right?
So anyway, we're all driving down and we're looking at our respective windows. So the Econoline was a three row. I don't know if you guys remember that van.
Mm-hmm.
It had three. So it had two front bucket seats, two middle bucket seats.
Yep.
And then there was a bench in the back that laid down into a bed so you could camp.
Oh, like the van.
But it would pull back up and it had seat belts in it so you could sit three wide.
Yeah. So it's Phil driving, my mom is the passenger, Grandpa behind Phil, Grandma by the door, then me, and then Jenny. Okay. And we're all looking out like the respective
side windows. And then we're all thinking the same thought. Holy fucking shit, the Hollywood Walk of Fame is disgusting. And then all of a sudden we hear the locks go. It was Phil. And we all started laughing so hard. Because it was literally like we were all having the exact same thought at the exact same moment. What the fuck have we gotten ourselves into? But in this, to be fair, this is, first of all, the Econoline van, Ford, kudos on the Econoline van from the 1980s that had all of these amenities, because it was one of the first with the electronic locks. But second of all, and more importantly,
you didn't have to all, like, lock your door.
Everybody lock your respective doors. Yeah. But to be fair, we hadn't gotten ourselves into this situation. Grandpa. Fucking taxes. And it was like well into May. I'm like, how many extensions did you file, peepaw? Like, fuck. It was the best and the worst. And then him hitting the locks was like, it was like whenever you think something is the best it could ever be. And then someone just throws a cherry on top, you know? Yeah. And when he hit those locks, we all started laughing. And Grandpa goes, that was a good one, Phil. And he was like, yeah, well, we'd probably all be at the hotel.
Fuck.
All right. Well, we want to thank our cousin Kitty for being a guest on our podcast.
Thanks, Kitty.
Thanks, Kitty. And until next week. You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye.
I love you.
I love you huge.